Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Saturday is a WRAL weather alert day due to the potential for flooding. I'll show you how much rain we could see and when.
Hundreds of thousands of airline passengers are expected to pass through RDU between now and Tuesday. How these numbers compare to past years.
Plus, breaking news from the State House. Two Republican lawmakers are leaving their leadership posts. What prompted the sudden decision?
You heard Elizabeth say it. Saturday is a WRAL weather alert day. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. It will rain for much of the day on Saturday, which could cause flooding. Elizabeth is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at what else we will see Saturday and through the long holiday weekend.
Flooding is likely to be the biggest risk that we'll see on Saturday with an all-day rain, but it's not the only thing that we'll be dealing with. It is going to be windy starting tomorrow. We'll have gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Those winds pick up as our coastal low starts to move inland. We'll see 25 to 30 mile per hour gusts on Saturday. We have the flood risk, and it's also going to be chilly. Even though this is a coastal low, it's going to be drawing in air from the north, and so our temperatures will be almost 20 degrees cooler than normal with highs in the mid-60s. Here's a look at that flooding risk again. This is a medium risk for flooding across most of our viewing area. It's a low risk in our northern counties, but we could see 1.5 to 2 inches in the area highlighted here in yellow, and that could mean some scattered flooding. We take a look at satellite and radar, and you can see here's where the system is right now, that low pressure system moving off the coast of Florida and then up the coast of the southeast. And that's going to move inland right around South Carolina, spreading rain across the entire state. So it's going to be the beaches to the mountains and everywhere in between. Here's a look at tomorrow morning. We'll see cloudy skies as we head into the afternoon. There'll be a few waves of very light rain that starts to move into our southern counties, and then gradually that shifts northward. We don't really see a lot of coverage of rain until we get into Saturday morning. This is a little bit slower arriving in the triangle, more like 9 or 10 a.m., but you can see some heavier rain. You see the pockets of yellow there. Not likely to have a lot of thunder and lightning, and we're not looking at severe storms. We're just looking at rain for a good chunk of the day. There's 6 p.m. Saturday, and you can see how it continues on until around 8 o'clock. We add more rain on Sunday and Monday for a very wet holiday weekend. I'll walk you through the rest of it coming up.
There's a shakeup in Republican leadership in the State House. Two Republicans who made news last week with controversial comments are no longer in leadership positions. The move was announced this morning, and WRAL was the only team there when it happened. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live from the legislative building with this breaking news. Laura.
Jeff, you know, administrative sessions like the one they had in the House this morning don't usually make news. But this morning, the State House Majority Leader announced that two Republicans had resigned from caucus leadership positions at the request of the rest of the Republican caucus. Representative Jeff McNeely and Representative Keith Kidwell were deputy whips. That's kind of a second-tier caucus leadership. However, they both made headlines last week for controversial comments directed at black Democratic lawmakers. McNeely asked one Democrat whether he would have gotten into Harvard if he were not a minority and an athlete, and Kidwell joked that another must be a member of the Church of Satan. At the time, House Republican leaders didn't publicly criticize those comments. However, House Majority Leader John Bell announced this morning that the caucus had reorganized this leadership.
Representative Kidwell of Beaufort and Representative McNeely of Iredell have resigned their leadership positions as a deputy whip within the caucus, and we're giving notice today.
We met as a caucus and just felt like that it was in the best interest of our caucus and best interest of its members that we received their resignation, and we're moving forward.
We've reached out to both McNeely and Kidwell for interviews. We've not yet heard back from them. We've also spoken with one of the Democrats that was targeted by those comments. We'll have her reaction for you coming up at 4. Jeff?
All right, Laura Leslie, live at the Legislative Building. Thank you for that update.
And happening right now in the WRAL Law Center following some breaking news out of South Carolina. South Carolina's governor has signed a bill banning most abortions around 6 weeks of pregnancy. This bill will go into effect immediately as a law. It restores the ban that South Carolina originally had in place when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade last year. That decision allowed abortion legal through 22 weeks of pregnancy. But this new law law bans abortion when an ultrasound detects cardiac activity, which is usually around 6 weeks of pregnancy. Now, there are exceptions in this, including the patient's life and health, rape or incest. That is through 12 weeks of pregnancy. Planned Parenthood South Atlantic does expect to quickly file a lawsuit in all of this. As far as us here in North Carolina, our state is set to ban most abortions through 12 weeks of pregnancy. That's beginning on July 1st.
Today kicks off the busiest travel season at the Raleigh-Durham International Airport. May through August sees higher passenger traffic than Thanksgiving through New Year's at RDU. WRAL's Monica Casey is there right now. Monica, how will this long holiday weekend compare to years past?
RDU is expecting more than 255,000 travelers between now and Tuesday. That's an increase of almost 20% over last year. We've seen quite a few people coming and going here this morning. The line at security has ebbed and flowed. Tomorrow and Monday will be the busiest days of the long weekend here. Some people I spoke with say they chose to travel today to avoid that busy time. The TSA says it's important to start packing from an empty bag and for parents to help their children with that packing.
Check your bag before you come to the airport. And a lot of families are traveling, so make sure that you're checking your kids' bags before you travel as well. A lot of times we'll see kids that will pack their own carry-on bag. Sometimes they'll put a BB gun or something else that's not going to be allowed on board an aircraft as well.
And this is also a busy weekend for travel by car. AAA says it's expected to be the third busiest Memorial Day weekend since the year 2000. They project 42.3 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more from home this holiday weekend. RDU is reminding everyone to arrive 2 hours early for any domestic flights and 3 hours early for international flights. The airport also suggests pre-booking parking if you plan to drive here. Renee.
Monica Casey with a preview of the busy Memorial Day travel weekend at RDU. Thank you. Chances are you'll see some extra long lines at Circle K gas stations later today. That's because the company is offering a big discount, 40 cents off per gallon. The sale is available between 4 and 7 p.m. only. You can find a map of participating stations on Circle K's website. Just click Fuel Day on the homepage.
Today marks 3 years since George Floyd's murder. Four former Minneapolis police officers either pleaded guilty or were found guilty on federal and state charges. Esma Murphy reports on what's being done to keep Floyd's legacy alive.
Attorney General Keith Ellison, who prosecuted all four officers involved, has written a book, Break the Wheel, Ending the Cycle of Police Violence.
Well, I think a lot of people's attitudes about this problem of excessive force, unreasonable force by police against civilians, including Black people, people of color. I think there's a recognition that, in fact, it does happen and it is a problem.
George Floyd's girlfriend, Courtney Ross, is almost finished with a children's book she is writing about grief.
It's really helped me get through this process of grieving, which never really ends, but it's helped me the past year specifically.
Say his name.
George Floyd's brother, Philonis, has created the Philonis and Keita Floyd Institute for Social Change with his wife to promote social justice in his brother's memory.
And we put this organization together to be able to help others in need of what's going on in the world, not just from like aspects of police brutality, the aspect of being able to help kids understand that they can do better things in life by helping provide them with things like from backpacks for school. If we have the opportunity to make sure that they have computers or something like that, even just take them fishing.
Local activist Nakima Levy Armstrong believes a lot more needs to happen.
There has been greater awareness, not only in Minnesota, but really around the country and around the world, about the systemic nature of police violence and the need for police accountability. I don't think that enough has changed in light of the magnitude of the problems that we are dealing with.
That was Esma Murphy reporting. A series of memorial events being held in Minneapolis today through the weekend. Many are hosted by the George Floyd Global Memorial. It's a nonprofit group run by Floyd's family, friends, and community leaders.
President Biden used the anniversary to call for more to be done to fight for police accountability. This morning, he released a statement that reads, quote, I will continue to do everything in my power to fight for police accountability in Congress, and I remain willing to work with Republicans and Democrats alike on genuine solutions. The family of an 11-year-old boy who was shot by a police officer in Mississippi is calling for the officer to be fired and charged in the shooting. Adarian Murray is now recovering at home after he was shot in the chest early Saturday morning. The officer was responding to a domestic disturbance at the child's home. His mother asked him to call 911. When the officer arrived, he had his gun drawn and demanded that everyone exit the home. When the child came around the corner of a hallway into the living room, the officer shot him. The child asked his mother what he had done wrong. The officer is now on paid leave.
The 2023 Atlantic hurricane season begins a week from today. Moments before this newscast, NOAA released the expected number of storms this season. Meteorologist Brian Schrader is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at the tropical forecast. Brian?
Jeff, the experts at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration are calling for a near-normal hurricane season, 12 to 17 named storms. 5 to 9 of those could become hurricanes with winds of at least 74 miles an hour, and 1 to 4 of those hurricanes could become major hurricanes with winds of at least 111 miles per hour. But this is not a high-confidence forecast because we're dealing with some competing factors. First, there's a 90% chance that we will be in an El Nino pattern this summer, and that's when water in the eastern Pacific off the coast of South America warms up, and that warming affects upper-level winds. That generally enhances hurricane activity in the Pacific, but it suppresses hurricane activity in the Atlantic. That would be good news for us. But take a look at this map of how the current sea surface temperatures differ from the averages. You can certainly see that El Nino pattern developing in the Pacific, but take a look at the Atlantic. A lot of warm water out there, and of course that is hurricane fuel. So we just have to see how the season plays out. But remember, it takes just one tropical system to have a huge impact, and we'll be tracking those storms all season long in the WRL Severe Weather Center, Jeff.
And if all else fails, we'll just keep our fingers crossed that we have a quiet summer. All right, Brian, thank you. Next at noon, a confessed killer's parents are being sued by Gabby Petito's family. What's in a letter Brian Laundrie's mother wrote that's at the center of this case?
Also, a massive fire burns a building to the ground in Australia. What limited injuries as firefighters battle to put it out?
And another fire, this one in Charlotte last week. At 12:30, we hear from the firefighters who made a daring rescue.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Following some breaking news out of London this afternoon, a man has been arrested after he crashed a car into the gates of Downing Street. That is where the prime minister lives. They're talking about this white car. That is the car that he drove into the wrought iron gates. The man was then arrested on suspicion of criminal damage and dangerous driving following the incident. This is the man here being arrested. Luckily, there are no reports of any injuries at this time.
Michelle, thanks. A letter Brian Laundrie's mother reportedly wrote to her son is now at the center of a civil case in Florida. The Petitos are suing the Laundries for emotional distress in connection to their daughter Gabby's death. The letter reportedly includes references to getting a shovel and burying a body. The envelope was labeled burn after reading. It was retrieved from Brian Laundrie's backpack when his remains were found back in October 2021. Before taking his own life, Ryan confessed in a notebook that he was responsible for Gabby's death.
After technical glitches delayed the start by 25 minutes, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced on Twitter he is entering the Republican presidential primary. The move sets up a clash with current GOP frontrunner, former President Donald Trump. During his opening statements, DeSantis took aim at President Biden, describing him as the leader of an activist left while suggesting the president is too old to lead. Florida governor also criticized the NAACP, the country's preeminent civil rights organization, as a left-wing outfit. A one-time advisor to Donald Trump is now set to go on trial for fraud charges next year. Steve Bannon will stand trial next May on charges related to a push to fund Trump's signature wall along the U.S. southern border. New York prosecutors say Bannon defrauded donors out of $15 million. Bannon pleaded not guilty to money laundering and conspiracy charges.
South Korean and U.S. forces held their largest ever live fire exercises today, simulating an attack from North Korea. The five-day exercise involves thousands of troops and hundreds of military vehicles. U.S. and South Korean forces have been carrying out various types of military training, including air and sea drills, in recent months. Investigators are searching for the cause of a massive fire that gutted an abandoned hat factory in Australia. Video showed a section of a building collapsing as flames soared into the sky. Authorities say people in the surrounding buildings were evacuated. More than 100 firefighters battled the flames in this seven-story building. It took hours to contain. So far, there are no reports of injuries.
And with that dramatic goal, the Carolina Hurricanes season is over. Matthew Tkachuk scored with 4 seconds left to give the Florida Panthers a win in game four, 4-3. Coach Rod Brindamore says despite the disappointing result, he is proud of his team.
From the seat I had, that was a pretty good game. You know, pretty impressive effort. And it's the way we've been all year. And in these four games, it's a tough way to end it like that, you know. That's going to be tough for sure.
The Canes lost each of the four games by one goal. This is the third straight time the Canes, dating back to the early 2000s, have been swept out of the Eastern Conference Final. Disappointing way to end the season. Anytime it comes to a close before you win it all, right?
Right. They have so much talent, they'll be back next year. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center tracking our WRL Weather Alert Day. Saturday looks messy.
It is. This is going to be messy and uncomfortable. We're going to see a windy day. Winds will be gusting 25 to 30 miles per hour. That's not enough to topple trees, but it is enough to knock down limbs in your yard and just to make it feel uncomfortable. The biggest threat that we'll see on Saturday is the flood risk. We have a medium risk for flooding from most of the viewing area. We may see a few isolated thunderstorms. We're not talking about severe storms, but looking at the potential for some flooding. And it's going to be chilly, too. Temperatures will only be in the low to mid 60s across our area. That's going to be almost 20 degrees cooler than normal. Here's our flooding risk. And you can see again in the yellow, that's where we could see an inch and a half to 2 inches of rain on Saturday. Then we might add a bit more to that on Sunday and again on Monday. So you just want to be careful all weekend long. If you happen to live near a stream, just keep your eye on it because it could rise at any point, especially into Saturday evening through Sunday or Monday. Here's a look at our low pressure system right now. This is a look at the pattern. We have a coastal low that's going to move up off the coast of South Carolina and Georgia. It will strengthen when it does that, and then it's going to make landfall here across South Carolina. It has the possibility of having some slight tropical consistency to it. We're going to talk more about that, some tropical characteristics. We take a look at Friday right now, and Friday looks like it's going to start dry tomorrow. We'll see increasing clouds, and then there could be some waves of rain, especially as we get closer to the evening commute. Most of that would be down in our southern counties. So we'd be talking about Clinton or Fayetteville southward. Goldsboro southward is where we could start to see some rain around the evening commute. And then an isolated shower. We start to get into more widespread rain around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and then some of that rain will be heavy. Those yellow areas are where the rain will be moderate to heavy. Again, not likely to have a lot of thunder with this. It's going to be a cool day, so the atmosphere will be fairly stable, but that rain will be pretty steady for us for a chunk of the day. There may be some periods where we see a bit of a break, but we'll have more waves coming through, not just Saturday, but into Sunday also. So looking at an 80% chance on Saturday, 60 Sunday, and 40 Monday. So the chances do go down as we get closer to Monday, but we still have a good chance of rain all the way through the weekend. A lot of folks enjoying some nice conditions right now here in Durham at the DBAP. Our current temperature is 70 degrees, so feels very pleasant. Our dew point's at 56. That's still fairly low. And what's happening out there right now is the ACC Baseball Championship. The 3 o'clock game is against UNC. It's UNC versus Virginia, 76 degrees at game time. Temperatures at 7 o'clock will be around 70, but falling into the 60s as Miami plays NC State. So it's a very exciting tournament out there at the DBAP this week. Around town this afternoon, temperatures will range from the mid-70s to around 80 degrees in Fayetteville. We'll see temperatures really dropping on Saturday. Our normal high is 82, so these are very cool temperatures for us as we get through the weekend. And again, that rain starts Friday night and continues potentially even into Tuesday. We'll talk about how much rain total we can see through the weekend coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Coming up later on WRL News at 4, one of the last events for Fort Bragg's All-American Week happened this morning. Gilbert Bays shows us what the division review is all about.
And tonight at 6, we reported earlier this week about retired government workers saddled with thousands of dollars in debt because of overpayments by the state. 5 Underside's Keely Arthur will take a closer look at how that happened. Plus, still ahead this noon, are you in need of a new couch, appliances, or electrical devices? Now may be the time to buy. Details on where to find the best Memorial Day weekend deals after the break.
And how about this? Brunch is not just for the weekends anymore. Why more and more people are now choosing to dine throughout the week.
Oh yeah, there's a breeze out there. There's no question as you look live at Wilson, the whirligig spinning around as you watch WRL News available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Memorial Day weekend is well known for being a great time to save big at many stores. Lots of businesses are offering rock bottom deals on just about everything. Maribel Aber shows us some bargains you won't want to miss.
Memorial Day offers plenty of markdowns on everything from electronics to home furnishings. Amazon has already marked down a vast amount of items ahead of the holiday, and one of the notable specials is for Apple's second-generation AirPods Pro. The price has been slashed 20% to $200. It's about the same deal that was available on Black Friday. And there are plenty more Apple products on sale at Amazon, including MacBook laptops and Apple watches. And look for bargains on affordable furniture from IKEA. The retailer has also marked down shelving and lighting along with some furniture by as much as 40%. And Lowe's has a large Memorial Day sale with markdowns on appliances, patio furniture, and grills to get you set for summer. Home Depot has a massive holiday sale of its own where you can also find grills, appliances, and plenty of other items on sale. And REI can help equip you to get outdoors. The chain is running its anniversary sale with savings of 30% on a range of goods like apparel and outdoor gear. Use the code ANNIV23 at checkout to get the savings. And if you're mattress shopping, this is the weekend for you. Dozens of mattress makers and retailers have them on sale. Check manufacturers' websites as well as retailers for the latest savings.
That's Maribel Aber there. Brunch isn't just for the weekend anymore. Restaurants are offering brunch throughout the week, and customers are eating it up. That is due in part to more flexible work schedules, and people wanted to avoid weekend crowds. There's also been an uptick of restaurants focusing solely on brunch. Theater fans flocked to Broadway as the pandemic waned. A new report shows nearly 89% of seats were filled during the 2022 and 23 season. That's close to the pre-pandemic level of nearly 90% in the 2018-2019 season. The 22 and 23 Broadway season grossed about $1.6 billion.
1 week ago today, a massive construction fire in Charlotte killed 2 people. Today, the city is honoring the brave firefighters who helped save others and prevented more damage.
Plus, in recent years, there's been a nationwide push to include more diverse books in school libraries. After the break, how one effort is helping to introduce AAPI culture to young children. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Happening now for the first time, we're hearing from the firefighters who rescued a crane operator during a massive fire in Charlotte a week ago today. The crane operator was stuck in the cab when the fast-moving fire erupted at a construction site. WRAL's Ken Smith is here now with what firefighters had to say about that close call. Ken.
Renee, we all remember this breaking news here in a noon hour a week ago today. This fast-moving fire, this massive fire, virtually consumed the South Park section of Charlotte. Now, many of those brave firefighters were honored today and spoke for the first time about this rescue. The crane operator was stuck in that billowing smoke and fire for almost an hour. The building was collapsing around them. We know now the two construction workers died. When that happened, firefighters then focused their attention on getting that crane operator out of harm's way. The emotions of that day is still raw for many of these firefighters.
I spoke with him on a radio for roughly 35 minutes, ensuring him we would come and get him. So with that, Murphy was able to extend all the way to the top of the ladder, provide him with some protective clothing, and that man come down like a cat. He was ready.
Murphy was one of the guys on that rescue crew. Chief Bright says even before firefighters got to the operator, they had to keep pouring water on that crane to keep it cool so it wouldn't collapse. So clearly, even a week later, firefighters still very emotional about what happened that day. Chief Bright says you don't often get a chance to talk with someone you've rescued, and clearly this is still very personal for them when they think about it.
Well, they are forever bonded by that moment, and great work by those firefighters. Ken, thank you.
Can't imagine the horror there. Wow. A growing number of Americans have gloomy outlooks about their retirement funds. Only 43% of non-retired adults feel good that they'll have enough savings when they retire. It's the lowest level since 2012. The Gallup survey also found a record low 19% of lower-income adults think they'll be comfortable in retirement. The results show continuing concerns about high living costs, amounts of savings, and the possibility of a recession. With a higher debt ceiling, Social Security payments could, or without, I should say, a higher debt ceiling, Social Security payments could also be delayed. Some Social Security payments are set to go out the day after the June 1st deadline. 40% of recipients rely on those checks for food, housing, and other essentials. A debt default would affect paychecks for federal employees as well as service members. Some of North Carolina's top Republicans are pleading with other GOP members to increase state employee pay. Agency leaders say job vacancies are a major problem, and the solution is pay raises. A top official with the Department of Agriculture said in his 50 years there, he's never had a harder time filling jobs. Progressive groups also held a protest yesterday saying the budget is harmful to the poor and other groups.
Four people are being questioned by police in Greenville, North Carolina, after a shooting forced a nearby high school to go on lockdown. Police said it happened on the school's practice field Wednesday morning. They say the 18-year-old who was hurt is not a student and was taken to the hospital. The lockdown was lifted, though security remained on campus for the rest of the day. Police say there is no connection between the school and the shooting. Improving school safety will be top of mind in Orange County today. The School System Safety Task Force will meet to discuss ways to better protect students and teachers. You're invited to attend to share your opinions and ask questions. The meeting is set for 5:30 at the Witted Building on Tryon Street in Hillsborough.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Nash, Orange, and Warren counties. In Nash County, people there can chime in early next month about how their tax money will be spent. The county released its budget proposal. There's no property tax increase this year, but there is also no funding increase for Nash County Public Schools. And EMS and parks and recreation fees will go up. The proposal includes a 5% cost of living adjustment for employees. There is a public hearing June 5th. The town of Carrboro named Will Potter its new fire chief. Potter has served in the Carrboro Fire Rescue Department since 2007. He's been acting as interim fire chief since last August, following the departure of former fire chief David Schmidt. Potter said the last fire chief that came up through the ranks in Carrboro was Chief Jake Hardy in 1973. So he considers the appointment, quote, a dream come true. Warren County Farmers Market has a new manager. Tamara Small received her training in healthcare at Harris School of Business in New Jersey. Small says healthcare and food go hand in hand. Small takes on her new role as the market shifts to its permanent location at the Warrington Lions Club property on Ridgeway Street.
Reading about different races and religions not only educates kids about different backgrounds, but also helps teach kids to be more inclusive. As we celebrate Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, a group is working to add more diverse books in classrooms. Chris Wynn explains the positive impact it's having on students.
Outside the nation's capital, a special gathering.
I don't remember reading any books with people that looked like me.
These kids at Drew Elementary School are getting a timely visit from the May Book Project, which was created last year when a group of St. Louis, Missouri high school students say they were ignored after asking some of their school libraries to buy more Asian American books in celebration of Asian Pacific Heritage Month.
This book is called Where Three Oceans Meet.
The May Book Project now offers a free toolkit, resource guide, and a book list, organizers say, of about 250 high-quality and vetted Asian American titles.
I have eyes that kiss in the corner and glow like warm tea.
Student ambassador Cassie Sun was among those who turned to the Very Asian Foundation for Help, which is working to make book drops like this one a reality.
I don't know if they can fully realize how important and how like incredible it is that we're able to be here today and read these books that feature characters that look like us and look like other people.
While there has recently been a nationwide push to include more diverse books in schools, there's still much work to be done. According to the National Education Association's most recent data, only around 9% of children's books published in the U.S. include Asian characters. Over the past year, the foundation has worked with libraries all over the country and now has hundreds of requests. But books cost money, and the program is working to raise more of it with hopes of reaching more people.
These kids can now be in a world that hopefully celebrates their differences, that they can celebrate their heritage and be proud of their heritage.
An eye-opening impact. One story and one student at a time.
That was Chris Wynn reporting. WREL is also recognizing AAPI Heritage Month by showcasing stories in our communities. Tomorrow, we'll take you inside the largest Hindu temple in North America, which is right in Cary, and how it serves the growing Hindu population.
A man left paralyzed after a motorbike accident is able to walk again. The backpack he has on contains new technology. How it works to help him walk naturally.
Plus, a valedictorian at a Florida high school graduates with an incredible GPA. How she rose above staggering adversity to get there. Fans around the world are paying tribute to rock and roll legend and musical influencer Tina Turner. Turner first appeared at the Apollo in Harlem in 1960 as part of the Ike and Tina Turner Review. She returned in March 1979 as a solo act. Shortly after the news broke of her death, flowers were placed on the legend's Hollywood star. The entrance to her home in Switzerland was decorated with flowers, candles, and tributes following the news of her death. She died Tuesday at her home after a long illness. Tina Turner was 83.
More than a decade after a tragic motorbike accident left him paralyzed, a Dutch man is learning to walk again. A team of experts implanted a brain-spine interface into his body, creating a direct link between the two body parts. The device tracks the brain's intentions to move and then transmits them to an external device, which stimulates muscles. The patient can walk just over 300 feet using the device, but still requires help to perform some activities. With the success of drugs designed to treat type 2 diabetes and obesity, helping people lose weight, researchers are working on more options. The experimental drugs aim to surpass weight loss stars like Ozempic and Wegovy. Several of the new medications now in development could increase weight loss and offer other additional health benefits. Some of the experimental drugs could even be offered in pill form rather than injections.
Your child's back-to-school supplies list could someday include virtual headsets. We'll explain how one school is teaching students in the metaverse.
A home in California now looks exactly like the one many of us grew up watching on TV. You recognize it? Coming up, how much buyers can expect to spend on this replica of the Brady Bunch home. While kids are counting down to summer vacation, one school is creating experiences unlike anything you've probably ever seen. Marianne Rafferty takes a look at how virtual reality and the metaverse are transforming education.
Imagine going to school and getting to pet a woolly mammoth, visit outer space, or even touch a human heart. It's a reality for a growing number of students, thanks to virtual reality, with special headsets taking traditional school into the online world of the metaverse.
There's so many opportunities to try new things.
The technology takeover is happening at the Redham House School in Berkshire, England, a private institution run by the Inspired Education Group. So far, some teachers say the devices aren't just making learning fun, they're helping students retain more information.
Once they've seen something, they'll remember it. And there's a deeper understanding because they can manipulate an object, they can see it from all sides.
And when it comes to the types of lessons students can encounter in Metaverse School, the possibilities are endless.
Biology is very well suited. We can explore things like from a cell and, you know, how things work.
We can also use it in subjects like geography to have an instantaneous field trip anywhere in the world. We've used it in history to go back in time, experience things like World War II, and even in subjects like languages. Now we can take them to a French restaurant or a German doctor's office so that they can be more immersed in that experience.
As Marianne Rafferty reporting, the Inspired Education Group has dozens of other schools around the world, and it is now testing a pilot program to give students access, other ones, to the metaverse classes as well.
If you've ever dreamed of being accepted into the Harry Potter world of Hogwarts, your dream could soon become a reality. An acceptance letter to the fictional school in the Harry Potter series is going up for auction. The letter was one of hundreds that flew down the chimney in the first Potter film. It was donated by a producer, with proceeds going to charity. It's expected to sell for at least $10,000. Even has the Hogwarts seal. We love highlighting graduates here at WREL. A teen in Florida graduated high school with an incredible 8.07 GPA. A 17-year-old enrolled in AP classes as well as participated in dual enrollment for an advanced international certificate program, which all boosted her GPA. The valedictorian had to overcome obstacles such as ADHD, hearing loss, even homelessness after their family home burned. She also received an associate's degree from a local community college. The teen hopes to become a doctor.
She lapped me in that area. The iconic Brady Bunch house is up for sale after undergoing some major renovations. HGTV flipped this home. It's selling now for $5.5 million. The company invested nearly $2 million into the renovations, which included the addition of the floating staircase off the living room and the orange and avocado kitchen. It also added a full second story, increasing the home size by 2,000 square feet. The network plans to donate a portion of the sales proceeds to initiatives that fight hunger.
That's some 1970s nostalgia right there. I remember the girls' bedroom. Yeah. The kitchen, definitely. You can just picture Alice in there, you know, like whipping up the meals. But those orange countertops.
The architect's station there, too, where Mike would do all his drawings. They had some serious discussions in that room there.
I'm so glad HGTV saved it from the wrecking ball there.
Exactly.
Touch the kitchen. What are they thinking?
No, they put the orange and avocado. I think that's a nice touch. You don't like it?
I mean, you know, no, that's what I'm saying. They should have left it. I mean, if you're buying the Brady Bunch house, you got to have the kitchen. That was where half the show happened.
Design is there.
Yeah, that's great. Let's take a look at satellite and radar. This is a look at our current situation. We have a low pressure system that is sitting just off the coast of Florida here. It's going to start to make its trek northward during the day tomorrow and gradually tomorrow night begin to spread some rain up across our area. Unfortunately, it looks like instead of zipping on out of here, it's going to make a left turn across South Carolina and then just fall apart, which is going to take several days, which means we're going to be dealing with the rain all the way through the holiday weekend. This is a look at Futurecast. We watched the low pressure system moving up the coast. This is Friday morning. We'll be nice and dry tomorrow morning, but we'll begin to see some rain moving in late Friday night into early Saturday morning. There's Saturday at 8 a.m. and then Saturday at 5 p.m. We're going to go a little closer and look at this with the high-resolution model in just a second, but I wanted to kind of give you the lay of the land of how all of this is going to work over the weekend. So Saturday at 5 p.m., that low begins to move inland, almost right along the North Carolina-South Carolina line. That continues to spread plenty of moisture back across the mountains, so really there's no part of North Carolina you could visit this weekend that's going to be dry. That low eventually starts to fall apart, so as we get into the day Sunday, we have lesser amounts of rain, and it continues to dry out a bit as we get into Monday as well, but we're still likely to have some rain
in the afternoon and evening on Monday. I'm still holding out some hope that Monday morning for any Memorial Day events, that it might be dry before more showers and storms develop later on. We take a look at Friday and we'll see increasing cloud cover. We take a look at our high resolution model. It does show the potential for a few isolated showers in our southern counties late on Friday afternoon and evening. And then the bulk of the rain starts to move in as we get into the day Saturday. So by 8, 9 o'clock, we're looking at rain everywhere. You can see pretty solid coverage of rain there at noon. Some of that rain will be steady to heavy. There will be some windows during the day Saturday where it isn't raining, but we'll continue to see waves of rain that could be heavy at times moving through all day long Saturday. Here's a look at our rainfall potential. Not looking at very much on Friday night, but we'll pause it again on Sunday night, and we can see anywhere from an inch to an inch and a half or 2 inches, especially in our southern counties. That's why we have that medium risk for flooding for our southern county, or for at least the southern half of the viewing area. And we could see some heavier amounts as well in some spots. So our flooding risk, we have a WRL weather alert day. We have that medium risk for flooding. Not likely to see a lot of thunderstorms. And we're not talking about severe weather, but we're talking about the potential for some flooding. Along the coast, that's where we'll see some heavy impact as well. Strong winds, dangerous rip currents, beach erosion. As this is a coastal low, there's a small chance that it could have some tropical characteristics, but it doesn't look likely. At the beaches over the weekend, highs will be in the 70s. It'll be windy and wet. And in the mountains, it'll be cool and wet with temperatures in the 60s. So again, you can't really go anywhere and escape the rain. It does look like we finally start to dry out by the middle of next week.
Nobody seems to be able to do anything about it.
That's a flock of wild peacocks invading a neighborhood, and now they're multiplying. Why some people there are crying foul.
First, here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers. We have 12, 21, 44, 50, 58. The Powerball is 26. The Power Play is 3. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Two Republican lawmakers resigned from their leadership positions in the State House of Representatives. That's after they made controversial statements targeting Democratic lawmakers. Keith Kidwell suggested a Democratic lawmaker was raised in the Church of Satan. Jeffrey McNeely questioned the qualifications of a black lawmaker who attended Harvard.
The 2023 Atlantic hurricane season begins 1 week from today. And today, NOAA released its storm prediction. The experts are calling for a near normal hurricane season, 12 to 17 named storms. 5 to 9 of those could become hurricanes. 1 to 4 could become major hurricanes.
Today also kicks off the busiest travel season at RDU International Airport. May through August sees higher passenger traffic than Thanksgiving through New Year's at the airport. RDU is expecting 250,000 travelers between now and Tuesday. That's an increase of almost 20% over last year. RDU is reminding people to arrive 2 hours early for domestic flights, 3 hours for international flights.
A neighborhood in Nebraska is experiencing a problem with wild peacocks. The birds flocked to southwest Omaha more than a decade ago. Since then, they've doubled in number. Some residents are divided about how to handle the situation. Neighbors say they've tried everything from calling the mayor's hotline, the Game and Parks Department, even the Humane Society, with no luck.
Any given time, have about 14 of them.
I had a friend that was in the driveway, and the peacock went to fly up in my tree and actually almost clipped her head.
Oh, my. The Humane Society advised neighbors to eliminate food and water sources that the birds might get to. That means everyone has to stop feeding the peacocks.
14 of them. Can you imagine? Our pets of the day. Oh, these are much cuter, right? Bonded pair of friends looking to be adopted together. Brooklyn and Bandit came to SPCA Wake after the previous owner sadly became terminally ill. Their wish for finding a wonderful family to ensure they're loved and cared for the rest of their lives. You can help out. Brooklyn is the big one, 6 years old. Bandit is a 7-year-old boy. So cute right there. Interested adopters, spcawake.org.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.